WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It is Friday here on The Opening Bell. Our focus now shifts to the business of aviation and travel. Some news this week involving United Airlines and also American Airlines. Let's bring in Brian Summers, a senior aviation business editor for skift.com. Brian is with us via Skype this morning from Los Angeles. Brian, I want to begin with United Airlines, a program change for frequent flyers involving how seat upgrades are handed out. What's going on at United?
Yeah, Steve, of course, not that many travelers actually get seat upgrades, right? I am a United Airlines frequent flyer, so I take this very seriously, as do other people. Some of us believe it's our God-given right to get upgrades to first class when those seats are unsold. United made some changes earlier this week to how they allot upgrades. It's a little bit complicated. Basically, in the past, they would give you electronic certificates that you could use to move from economy class to first class or business class. They've changed that now, so there's no more certificates. They've created a brand new currency called plus points. Airlines love to create proprietary currencies, right? Because then they can change the number of plus points that you need over time, so there can be inflation, right? In the past, it was, one certificate was good for one upgrade. Currently, on a lot of flights, if you want to move, if you're flying from Chicago to London and you want to move from economy class to business class, you will need 40 plus points. But who's to say in 5 years it won't be 50 or 60 plus points? Again, only United's most frequent flyers are earning these plus points. So most of the people listening to this are not going to have any idea what we mean. But those few people who are going to be earning plus points are going to be taking this program very, very seriously. Airlines do care about customer loyalty. They don't necessarily care whether a customer is loyal if that customer flies once a year and buys the cheapest tickets. But again, if you're flying from Chicago to Tokyo on United or London and you're doing it several times a year, United desperately cares about you, and they are going to throw you a few free upgrades every year to try to keep you loyal to United. Those upgrades can be hard to use. You can't always use them when you want to, but usually if you're willing to be flexible, United will upgrade you. And those upgrades are worth quite a bit of money, because everybody knows business class tickets abroad cost thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and to further illustrate the high bar that we're talking about here, you don't start earning these points until you hit about, 75,000 miles in 1 year?
You don't start earning these points until you fly 75,000 miles per year, and you don't really start earning them until you fly 100,000 miles a year. And it gets worse than that, Steve. I know the listeners probably don't care about my own predicament, but I will fly this year. In fact, I already have flown this year 100,000 miles on United, but I will not be eligible for this program because I have not spent $15,000 on United this year. So you actually have to not only fly 100,000 miles, but you have to spend at least $15,000 on the airline. So these are really good customers that are earning these plus points.
Brian, let's switch to American Airlines. The Skift Forum, Global Forum, was just held. You got the chance to interview a couple of the big names at some of these airlines, including American Airlines CFO. Talk to us a little bit about what he told you about their summer season.
Yeah, I did interview American's CFO, Derek Kerr. Our listeners may know, because Chicago is an American hub, American has had a tough summer. They've been in a labor dispute with their mechanics union, and that has slowed down the airline. They've had more aircraft taken out of service because of mechanical issues than they're accustomed to. It's meant a lot of delays and a lot of cancellation and so many unhappy customers. A lot of folks in the industry are watching American carefully. People may remember the way United Airlines was about 4 or 5 years ago, where nothing seemed to go right for United. We're getting to that point with American. There's just been a lot of issues that the airline has had. They've had a lot of very upset customers, and this is all snowballing. So I interview American CFO, and what does he tell me? He downplays the issues. He said they know that they've had some operational problems in 2019, and he told me that we should all stay tuned to 2020. They're going to get an agreement with their mechanics. They're going to improve employee morale. They're going to improve reliability. And if you can just hang with American until the next calendar year, everything is going to improve. There's some folks out there that aren't sure it's going to be that simple, that American might be lagging United and Delta for the foreseeable future. But I guess a CFO is paid to have a rosy outlook, right?
Yeah. So what does your gut tell you about what might need to change at American to turn things around?
Oh, it's so hard to know, Steve. I mean, certainly a labor agreement with the mechanics will help a lot. It's very hard to run an on-time airline with unhappy mechanics, right? Because they decide when you pull an aircraft from service or when you can still fly the airline. But, you know, it's possible that Americans' problems go beyond this. You know, people have been complaining about their product on domestic flights in first class and business class, also in economy class. Folks don't like that they've taken TVs out of their short-haul aircraft. It's on a digital level, American hasn't invested as much as Delta and United. The airline just isn't quite there the way it should be. Part of this may be a reflection of the fact that American was the third major U.S. airline to merge with a competitor. So it merged with U.S. Airways much later than United's merger and Delta's merger. And maybe these kinks just take longer to work out. But right now, American is not in the best shape.
Well, there's another interesting story, too, this week. What does busing have to do with an airline, with airline activity? I know you've been writing about this startup called Landline.
Yes, there's a startup called Landline, which is based in Los Angeles. And these are two gentlemen who founded it who come from an airline background. And they know that airlines are facing a pilot shortage. And airlines are trying to retire their smallest regional jets, their 50-seat regional jets. And so that's a jet that you might fly if you're American from Chicago, from Champaign to Chicago, and then those passengers transfer from Chicago to, say, London or Los Angeles or something like that. So these guys are saying it's very expensive to run a 50-seat regional jet from Champaign to Chicago. What if we replaced it with a bus, and then people took the bus to Chicago, and then they flew onward? But, you know, they believe that they're adding value because, yes, it's going to be a bus. It's going to be rolling down the road, but they want to treat the bus basically it is an extension of the aircraft. So the bus might pick up at the airport in Champaign. You would check your bags in Champaign. You would never see them again until you got to London or Los Angeles. You would check in for your flight in Champaign, so you'd get your boarding passes there, and it would all be very seamless. There is some hope that this might work, especially because, as I said, it's so expensive to operate a 50-seat aircraft from smaller cities in the Midwest to Chicago. And sometimes you just don't need an airplane to do it.
Yeah, the 50 to 250 mile radius, that's still about 2 hours of travel time versus a lot shorter of a plane ride.
It is a lot shorter of a plane ride, but I'll tell you something that I find sort of interesting, Steve. If we take that route again, like Champaign to Chicago, when there is bad weather in Chicago, when there are summer storms or a winter snowstorm, what happens is American says to its regional partners, the folks that fly the 50-seat airplanes, you have to reduce the number of airplanes that you fly into Chicago because of the bad weather. And these close-in cities like Champaign, like a Madison, Wisconsin, they get canceled first. And so it is very possible that in the worst winter weather, the bus might actually be more reliable than the airplane. Of course, the bus has a problem also with driving in the snowstorm. But because airlines disproportionately cancel the shortest flights whenever they have to reduce flights, the bus could be more reliable.
So are we going to see this anytime soon between Chicago and Champaign?
I don't know. I can tell you that the Landline founders, I'm sure, would love to sell American Airlines on this. Right now, they have only one airline customer. It's Sun Country Airlines, which operates a hub in Minneapolis. So you can now buy a plane ticket from Mankato or from Duluth all the way to Cancun. It's just that your first leg from Mankato to Minneapolis is going to be on a bus and not an airplane.
All right, good stuff, Brian. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Brian Summers, Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift.com. Make sure you follow Brian on Twitter at Brian Summers and Skift as well at Skift. And sign up, too, for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report. You can get all kinds of airline news directly inputted to your inbox at skift.com/airline.